Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, Episode 26, The World Warrior. I am one of your co-hosts, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my horribly diseased colleague, Chris Slate.
Hello.
And Slate, you are under the weather this week, I understand, but we still got a lot of Nintendo stuff to talk about. In fact, it's been just a little bit more than a year since Amiibo hit, so our big topic this week is going to be all about Amiibo. But before we get to that, we're going to kick it off with some other stuff. I think we're going to start with some impressions of the latest releases.
Yeah, that's right. The must-play game of the year, Mario Tennis Ultra Smash, just came out.
Must-play, you say? That sounds very, very promising.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm kicking that game a little bit while it's down. It's been getting negative reviews, and in general, people have been piling up on it. And that's deserved, but, you know, I guess I always try to feel like I have to balance things out a little bit. It's the core mechanics of it are, you know, pretty much as good as any of the Mario Tennis games have ever been. At least that's how it seems for me, having, you know, only put a couple hours in so far.
Yeah, it seemed pretty solid when I played it a few months ago in demo form. But unfortunately, it sounds like, as far as the rest of the game goes, it hasn't really gone beyond what I saw in demo form. There's just not a whole lot to it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the core tennis is fine, but they have like a handful of modes. But, you know, these aren't the modes that you can really that you're used to getting in Mario Sports titles. The ones you can really sink your teeth into. I mean, there's not even a tournament mode.
Well, that is really lame.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time you could play Mario Golf or Mario Tennis and you couldn't even play in a tournament? So you basically got your one-off, you know, regular tennis match, classic tennis, on like basically the same arena, but you can change the color and surface of the court, which does affect, you know, how the ball moves like you would expect in a tennis game. They've added the ability to do these jump smashes, which is kind of the where Ultra Smash gets its title. They've added a mode where you can basically keep turning into a mega version of your character, your giant version.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that I played a bunch of at E3, which sort of, I mean, it seems like whoever gets the mushroom is suddenly totally overpowered and is going to score the point.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. It's not as bad as I thought it would be, but it is, you know, it is just something to kind of maybe play a couple of times, you know, when a bunch of friends were over, just to kind of laugh at. But if you really want to sit down and use any kind of skill and you know, dig deep into it, you're probably going to, or as deep as you can go, you're probably just going to play classic tennis. There's a mode where you can play with your amiibo and, you know, it's essentially 2-on-1 with you and your amiibo against the computer.
Yeah, I kind of thought that might be the mode that you'd be able to, you know, spend some time with, because, you know, there's no tournament mode, but I'm like, well, this is kind of like just climbing an arcade ladder, but it even turns out that there's nothing really for that. It's just a survival mode, and there's not like a final boss to beat or anything like that. It just goes until you lose, and that's it, right?
Yeah, the goal there is just to try to, you know, win as many as you can in a row, and then once you've done that, you finally lose, to start all over again and try to see if you can beat that, you know, winning streak the next time.
And you can't even play that mode unless you have an amiibo, is that correct?
Oh, actually, I think you can play it without an amiibo. In fact, I just tried that today. So you don't have to have the amiibo, but I mean, without the amiibo, it's even less of its own kind of unique mode. It really feels just like classic tennis with, you know, the extra stipulation that it recognizes when you go on a streak. But when you play regular classic tennis, it's really just one-off versus matches. And I will say that, you know, although there isn't a traditional mode like tournament or whatever, where you feel like you're building towards something, the game does have some stuff you can unlock, other characters and things like that. Not a ton, but some stuff.
Is there new gear you can get to equip your character or anything like that?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I do feel like there's a variety of things you can unlock by earning coins from playing the various modes. But I haven't really unlocked a lot of stuff yet. So I'm just starting to get into that. But I think the consensus that seems to be out there seems totally appropriate, that, you know, this was basically the start to what could have been a great new entry in the Mario Sports series, but they kind of put it out there quite a bit undercooked. Maybe they just felt like they had to get it out for the holiday season. I don't know. Maybe it would have been delayed and worked on a bit more if they hadn't already delayed Star Fox and Zelda Wii U. Who knows? But the bottom line is, especially when you compare it to all the other Mario Sports games we've seen in the past and what we've become accustomed to, there's really no excuse for kind of losing tried and true, you know, modes and features.
Yeah, it's weird how, like, every time they bring this series back, it's like it has fewer and fewer features.
Yeah, and the criticisms of the Mario Golf and tennis games for quite a while has been that even with the previous ones, which were better and had more modes, was that there still wasn't that long kind of RPG-esque kind of story mode.
They really dug themselves into a hole with that one. They put that into the old classic versions on handheld, and that's like people are like, yeah, bring that back, we love that mode. And every time they don't, and people are like, well, this is disappointing.
Right, so people were already kind of tired of these games just being straight up arcade kind of multiplayer affairs, and Nintendo really took it in much more an extreme direction with that, with basically stripping out stuff that even at least you had in the last games to try to get a little bit more out of there, especially single player. So this one, I mean, it is, they knocked $10 off the price. I feel like it should have been even a bit more than that. It is fun if you've got, a bunch of friends who are constantly over, who like playing Mario Tennis, and you can kind of enjoy it with them. But if you're just going to spend a lot of time just sitting there on the couch by yourself playing this game, I really can't recommend it, unfortunately. And like I say, it's not necessarily a bad game, but it's really unfortunate that I believe this is the first Nintendo game I can ever remember where it just feels like they didn't really try. And even when Nintendo has made, games that didn't turn out great, you still felt like they had something in mind and they were swinging for the fences. Mm-hmm. And maybe their idea was just a little too crazy or a little too, distant from what people wanted. This time it just seemed like they were just like, good enough, get it out there.
Phone it in.
Yeah, really not what you expect from Nintendo.
That's unfortunate. I guess that's one of the reasons I did not pick it up. But I have been playing some other stuff on my Nintendo systems. Specifically, I am playing Rodea the Sky Soldier, which is on Wii U. There's also a 3DS version of the game that's out. And it's also on Wii, believe it or not. I'm actually turning on my old Wii and playing it there. It's actually bundled together. You wouldn't know it from looking at the game, but the Wii U version comes with the Wii game, which is substantially different.
So it's two different discs in the same box.
Yes, exactly. And it even has a reversible cover sleeve. And it's fully localized and everything. It is two complete games. Similar, but different.
And I suppose that's because the game originally started on Wii, right? And then at a certain point in development, they kind of decided to make a Wii U version as well?
Yeah, I mean, we heard about this game at Nintendo Power like years ago, probably 5 years ago or more. We got to see a little bit of it, and we're like, wow, this sounds really cool. This could really be something. This is by Yuji Naka and Probe Studio, and this was kind of like his next big project, rather than doing another fishing game or a catching game or something like that. They're like, okay, this is sort of a successor to the platformer games he's known for, and so it was very exciting. But then it fell off the radar. It never came out.
Yeah, he was the guy. Naka was the guy for years that kind of steered the Sonic games, right? I mean, he was a co-creator of the original Sonic, I think.
Yeah, he was the co-creator, the lead programmer. Yeah, he really helped make that series into what it is. And they went on to do Knights and other things like that. And you can feel that DNA in this game as you're flying around a lot. You're doing some platforming type stuff. You're chaining together these jumps as you smash into enemies and then into collectibles and try to stay in the air as long as possible. And like I said, the two versions are quite a bit different. Though the Wii U version, of course, it's got the HD graphics. It's got a lot more to it. It feels more like a traditional, action game in that, you run around, you perform attack moves. Eventually you get a gun and shoot projectiles. Get permanent powers and upgrades. But the controls are really, really complicated. You have to, tap the jump button to go into the air, then you hold it down to spin around in the air, and then you have to move a reticle to aim for where you want to land or what enemy you want to attack. And then there's a different button for launching straight up into the air, and there's sometimes where you're just flying all over the place, and it's really hard to figure out what to do. I played it for a couple of hours, and I think I was finally starting to get a hang of it, but it is really convoluted, and it's also not a very attractive game at all. The architecture for the levels is really, really basic. The environments are pretty drab and ugly. As I said, there is a 3DS version of the game, and I've heard that it was done on 3DS and they sort of just like upscaled it for Wii U, which is totally believable because this does not look like a native Wii U game at all.
That doesn't sound like what you want to hear.
No, no. You know, it is a little bit, you know, it's kind of fun once you get the hang of it, but you know, after a couple of hours, I switched over to the Wii version instead, and I'm like, holy cow, this game, you know, it's not HD, but the level architecture is better. It's way more vibrant and colorful, and, you know, just seems to have a whole lot more, you know, energy to it. And the controls are, you know, really designed for that Wii remote. You know, you have the on-screen pointer, and basically you point to where you want to go, you hold down the B button, and you flick the remote, and your character flies there. And, you know, ideally you're, you know, targeting towards a specific, you know, spot or an enemy, and you hold down the A button to do an attack move. And that's really all there is to it. You can move your character on the ground using the control cross. It doesn't even use the nunchuck. It's just the remote. And also, if you need to, you can use a pointer-based control system where you just, you know, you aim where you want to go, you hold down a button, and just, you know, guide him by dragging the pointer and holding down the B button. But it's not really built for that. It's built for, you know, flicking and flying and bouncing from one spot to another and chaining together all these maneuvers. And when you do get power-ups, they are temporary. You know, they extend the length of time you can fly, or it's a temporary machine gun. And then, you know, you aim and point and shoot, and, you know, it all works very, very smoothly. You know, it's very arcadey. Again, I haven't played it, you know, terribly far. It was also just an hour or two. But it seems to have a lot of promise on Wii, whereas it just feels, you know, very confused and messy on Wii U. I'm glad I picked it up. I feel like, you know, this is something that could be really cool, but it is disappointing how much stuff it lost in the transition over to Wii.
And it sounds like a real shame because, I mean, the Wii U can do anything though the Wii can. I wonder why they didn't have a mode on the Wii U to support those. Well, I guess you said the whole architecture is different. They really built the game differently, huh?
They did, but, you know, there's nothing stopping them from, you know, using maybe the touch screen in a similar manner, or having the Wii Remote controls, since you can, you know, have Wii Remote on Wii U. Why not do it that way?
Yeah.
But it is neat. It's a cool piece of history. It's nice to get, you know, the two versions in one package. You know, if you are a fan of the Naka stuff, if you're a fan of Knights, I definitely recommend picking it up. And, you know, if you're still playing your Wii, then that's also another good reason to get it. I'm certainly not ready to give judgment. And certainly even the Wii version has numerous issues. I mean, I do miss, you know, the permanent upgrades of the Wii U version. And sometimes it's like, man, how come I can't just use the nunchuck to maneuver my character and then, you know, flick the remote to move? That might have been better. Why isn't that option in there? But it's certainly a very, very interesting game. I will give it that much, and I think it's worth investing more time in for certain.
Mm.
So, moving on from our game impressions here, we've got some news. It's not actually a very big news week, but I heard that Nintendo has opened up a shop on eBay.
Yeah, I stumbled across that the other day, and they don't have a lot of stuff up on there yet. And as you might guess, most of the stuff they do have on there, you don't get any steep discounts on or whatever.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But there was one exception to that rule. They had Wii Fit U, the package that has the, you know, the scale in it and everything, and mm-hmm. the pedometer that you take with you.
Well, that was pretty pricey, as I recall.
Yeah, but they had it for just $25.
Oh, not bad.
So that's one I always meant to pick up, not so much because I really wanted to use it, but just as kind of a Nintendo collector. So that's a good deal. They also had some discounts on refurbished Wii remotes. So that gives me some hope that maybe we'll see some more refurbished goods on there. And I was hoping they might eventually add some things that you can't normally get in stores, but that you can get through Nintendo's online shop, such as the higher capacity replacement battery for the Wii U gamepad. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'll be curious to see, now that they've established a shop, what they do with it.
Yeah, or maybe some of those new 3DS non-XL faceplates. Maybe they'll show up there, or, you know, crossing fingers, maybe even the system itself. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a cool little place for them to experiment a little bit or take some lower volume items and kind of put them out there that way. So, you know, it's just interesting. It's always interesting for me to see Nintendo partner with, you know, companies like Facebook or you know, eBay, companies that they, in a way, seem to kind of either not be interested in or maybe view as rivals in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, they certainly viewed Apple as a rival at one point, and now they're about to put stuff out on Apple platforms. So yep. It's you know, just like all that other stuff, the eBay store kind of jumps out to me as kind of a, whoa, this really is, you know, a new Nintendo than the one that, you know, certainly was around when we were back on Nintendo Power.
Yeah, they usually like to make their own path, so it's interesting to see them do that. So another bit of news that came out this week was about the Mother series. There was actually an interview with the series creator, Shigesato Itoi. And unfortunately, it wasn't really what I would call good news about the series, huh?
Yeah, this comes from a Japanese magazine called Game Watch, or maybe that's a website, or probably both. But anyway, he says, and I'm quoting the translation here, he says, among big-time pop stars, if they, you know, put out 10 items, or 10 albums, rather, around the fourth album, they can't make very good songs. The albums sell, but everyone at the concerts wants to hear songs from those first three albums.
That's very true.
Yeah. He goes on to say, I'm glad that video games are not my profession. If it was my job, I would have already made 4 and 5. So essentially here he's saying that he feels like he's kind of made his mark with that series. He's proud of what he did, and he's fearful that if he, you know, kept trying to go back to that well too many times.
Well, he's basically reaffirming that there is not going to be a Mother 4.
Right.
And, you know, he'd said that before. But, you know, this is kind of, you know, seems like the final nail in that coffin. I mean, I guess there's, you know, it's Nintendo's property, so I suppose they could continue it without him. But, you know, knowing how much, you know, this guy contributed, how important he was to the series, that would be pretty weird. And, but yeah, just kind of sad to hear there's not going to be another one, especially we've only gotten the one, well, I guess we two now. Huh, my bad, I almost forgot about the Virtual Console release of the original here in the U.S., but we had never got Mother 3, which is, you know, supposed to be one of the, you know, all-time greats. But, you know, who knows? Maybe one day we will get it.
Yeah, and if we do, we can at least take some satisfaction from knowing that we now have the complete series, since, you know, there won't be any more. He actually, in that interview, specifically said, and the quote here is, that Mother 4 seemed totally impossible to him. So he's not leaving a lot of wiggle room there.
Yeah, that is it's kind of sad to hear. But I understand what he is saying. He makes a good point.
Yeah, you have to respect a guy who's willing to walk away, you know, from something where he could go back and make another quick, easy buck. But he, you know, he doesn't want to diminish the quality of the work he's already put out there.
Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing that you were showing me just this morning is that there are these, you know, mock movie posters out there on the internet of what it would look like if Studio Ghibli made The Legend of Zelda into a movie.
Yeah, they're so great. I mean, they have that kind of Ghibli spirit to them, that kind of melancholy kind of, you know, spirit of wonder, where you are looking at the back of the three principal characters. One poster is Link, the other one is Zelda, the other is Ganon. And you're each looking at them from their perspective as they stare out from their own unique spot in Hyrule out over the lands to, you know, kind of a stormy, cloudy Death Mountain. And it's cool, you know, the way that they mock the posters up. First of all, the artwork is amazing. It looks, you know, very reminiscent of Studio Ghibli films. They even put kind of the little critics awards, you know, kind of at the top of the poster to give it some extra class. And it really just makes you wish that if Nintendo is finally, it looks like they're going to be getting into films, that this was the approach they took. I mean, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made me really think that that would be a really good match, a way that they could, you know, someone, it seems like it'd be really hard to make a good Legend of Zelda movie, but if anyone could, you know, take that spirit and those themes, it would have been Miyazaki. It's too bad that is also an impossibility, it seems.
Yeah, people should definitely check out the posters though. I mean, just go on and Google you know, Zelda Studio Ghibli, and I'm sure it'll pop right up.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I was saying, there's not really too much news to talk about this week. But I did want to, you know, take care of a couple, you know, little housekeeping things. First of all, I wanted to say a big thank you to one of our listeners, Brian Booth, who sent us a couple of Triforce Heroes codes a couple weeks back. You mentioned on the show that we didn't get them, and he generously sent them to us, and we totally kept forgetting to thank him until now. So here we are. Thanks very much, Brian.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brian. You're awesome.
And then we have started trying something out. There is a new place for people to listen to the podcast.
That's right. We've started a PowerPros YouTube channel. So far, there's just a couple of videos up there. One is last week's episode. We plan to put this week's episode up as well. To be honest, I don't know that YouTube is kind of the best place to listen to a podcast. But then
we have had some requests for it.
Yeah, people do. So, you know, we're just experimenting a little bit. But we are very much kind of in the testing phase here. So please let us know what you think. You know, let us know what you would maybe like to see as far as video content from us and what you think of what we've already put up there. I also put up a walkthrough of one of my Mario Maker levels where I just kind of explain how I built it. It's 30 years of NES, one that's filled with a lot of kind of classic, character, NES character costumes. So that was really fun to do. So, check the videos out if you can. Let us know what you think and let us know what you'd like to see. We'd really appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a little intermission, and when we come back, we are going to talk all about Amiibo. All right, we are back, and we are here to discuss one of our favorite topics on this podcast, Amiibo.
Amiibo!
Specifically, we just recently celebrated the one-year anniversary on November 21st, and we're just kind of checking in, seeing how it's gone, how it's been, where it's going, what is the state of Amiibo. How do you think this first year has gone, Mr. Slate?
Overall, pretty well. I think more than anything, the Amiibo is just a great collection. The quality is really high, and it just still blows my mind that we can see so many, classic characters all together in one set. Now, of course, that doesn't mean there haven't been some ups and downs, and some things that Nintendo could improve on that they have improved on and could still improve on. And I'm sure we're going to get into all that, but overall, I'd say I'm pretty happy. I think I may have said this on the show before, but I always kind of, I've got a kind of a collector's mentality, but I kind of stayed away from, collecting too much stuff in the past other than games themselves. So this was a great opportunity for me to really kind of indulge that kind of a collector's urge on something that, isn't insignificant. There's a lot of Amiibo, and I think we added it up the other day, and I'm sad to say that it's around $1,200. If
you've bought all of them, not counting the Amiibo cards, around $1,200 to catch them all.
Which, if you think about it, I mean, a new Zelda game comes out once every, 3 or 4 years. Console Zelda game, and they get my $60 for sure. But they have somehow managed with a product line to get over $1,000 from me in one
year
alone.
Yeah, that's for like what 75-80 Amiibo. That's a lot of product to come out in the whole year.
It is. It's crazy. But I mean, it was a brilliant move and just the kind of thing they needed at a time when they needed steady, revenue and something mm-hmm. else to look at, because they obviously didn't put out a huge quantity of games this year. And even some of the key ones they were counting on slipped. Mm-hmm. But I would say you could give Amiibo a lot of credit for getting Nintendo back in the black here these last couple of, quarters.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I feel like it was a bit more of a mixed bag maybe than you did, but I do really like the quality of the product that they're putting out. And, there's no denying that during the times when it didn't seem like there was much going on in the world of Nintendo gaming, the Amiibo seemed like they were always there, showing up to be a big part of the Nintendo conversation. I mean, it's not very often that you see people, lining up outside of stores for Nintendo product, but by God, Amiibo certainly made people do it.
Yeah, and if you're a Nintendo fan, I mean, every time you get one of these things, it's just a great little moment where it's not just about getting the product, but it's kind of touching in with this brand that you've always kind of loved. You know, you you're holding that little character in your hand, and you're just reminded again of why you love Nintendo, or at least I am. You know, when I hold a classic Mario character, or especially some of the more obscure stuff. You know, when I'm holding a freaking Game & Watch, amiibo, I'm just thinking, man, Nintendo's awesome. And that really ties into kind of Nintendo's broader brand strategy, I think, how they're trying to get or up the value of their character, IPs by, putting them in more places and theme parks and, eventually movies and all these plans they've got going on behind the scenes. And amiibo was a very direct and simple way to just say, we might not have a new Zelda or Metroid game every year, but look, here's some great, another great way to kind of touch base with these franchises that you love and remember, again, how much you love Nintendo. And that kind of makes you more excited, about Nintendo in general, I think. So I think, these things really help Nintendo in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, you don't even need to be a Wii U owner or a 3DS owner to want to be able to collect these things. And, if you are, any sort of Nintendo fan, if you used to be any sort of Nintendo fan, it's so great to be able to put all these characters up on your shelf and have them all in one more or less unified series. All the major characters, lots of the minor characters. It's just, really, really fun to be able to see something like that come through and, be a big hit for them.
Yeah, and also as a fan, it also gives you an opportunity to show Nintendo how much a certain character might still be really loved. I mean, Smash really gave us that opportunity because they had such a broad range of characters. They weren't all, A-listers as far as, their individual sales of their series may have been in recent years. But, we can all go back, or we can all go out and, buy up all the Little Macs to let Nintendo know, hey, there's an audience here for Punch-Out. We can all go show Capcom how much we still love Mega Man by buying Mega Man. So there's also a certain amount of just, the amiibo that you buy and the ones that you kind of proudly take in, there's a certain kind of ownership there that the fans can take that also, I think, helps the appeal of these things.
Mm-hmm. But it's been a really interesting roller coaster since these things came out a year ago. I remember, they first became available, online, like on Amazon, and I'm putting in my pre-orders. I'm like, okay, that seems fine. And, wave two went up with Little Mac and Diddy Kong and Pit and Captain Falcon. I pre-ordered those and, that was all right. No problems. But once they actually came out and some of these things were in such short supply, that's when things started getting a little nuts. A year ago, there were 12 of them that came out alongside Smash Brothers, but Marth and the Wii Fit Trainer and the Animal Crossing Villager were pretty much nowhere to be seen. And once people realized how rare some of these were going to be, it got kind of nuts pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the situation where Nintendo, Nintendo produces these toys themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it was just them getting used to a new market or them maybe underestimating the appeal and the demand for these from buyers. But yeah, there just weren't enough to go around. And it was, from a fan's perspective, it's kind of inexcusable. I mean, it was like that through much of this first year. Where, mm-hmm. Like you say, that the very first ones we pre-ordered without much trouble, but still the idea that you would have to pre-order something to really guarantee that you get it.
Well, we didn't know we had to, but it was available. We're like, why the heck not? Makes it so we don't have to run out to the store. And I was able to do that for the first three waves pretty much. And it was just like a normal product at that point. But, then it became, this phenomenon, and suddenly, you couldn't, that was like, not an option. You can't just go out and, buy them like you would buy any other product. You can't just, pre-order it like you would a game. And it just sort of became this this crazy monster. So on the one hand, you had, these really cool figurines that had, a lot of great detail or a lot of, authenticity that, really captured the spirit of these great characters. And then on the other, there was this, horrifying sense of, if you're a collector, how are you going to get this thing? You're going to have to do some weird stuff and wake up at weird times a day and, literally go out and fight people to get these things.
Yeah, and that was that's the real blemish on the first year of Amiibo, because Nintendo likes to say that they're in the business of putting smiles on people's faces, but there's no smile on your face where you're lined up 2 hours early in the cold outside of a Target with a bunch of other people, and you don't even know if they're going to have enough product for the number of people that are in line already.
Mm-hmm.
Or, when we were at a when we, you know, I'd say the lowest of the low is when we had to go into GameStop.
Oh yes, Wave 4. Wave 4 was really where all the crap hit the fan. Yeah, Wave 3, there were some very hard ones to find. There were some exclusives in there. There were, like, you know, 5-minute windows when, you know, Rosalina was up for pre-order at Target. But, you know, if you tried, we were able to get all those without too much trouble. But then Wave 4 came around. That was with Ness and Charizard and Pac-Man and Wario and especially Lucina and Robin. And, you know, those were so hard to get. And what you're referring to, of course, is when we, you know, the way to pre-order them at GameStop was to actually go to the store at a specific time and do your in-store pre-orders. But boy, it did not work. It was a flaming disaster.
Well, what they didn't figure out is that if you had everyone lined up and ready to pre-order at
everyone
every GameStop
across the country
at the same time, of course it's going to crash GameStop's system. So you know, I got there. I was first in line at our local GameStop. I got there an hour early, and I wasn't sure if I needed to be there an hour early, mm-hmm. but you know, you never know with Amiibo. So
that's right.
Don't take
that's
that
my
chance.
Slogan.
That's your slogan. So I followed that advice, and I got there, and immediately there was a mom who was there pushing a stroller, got in line behind me, and
then I showed up.
You showed up. Then pretty soon we had like 20 or something people in line, right? Some other people from the office showed up.
Yep.
And then the system breaks, and then I'm first in line, right? And I'm still standing in front of that
register.
Well,
first we're standing there for an hour waiting for them to actually take the pre-orders, and then you go up there, and you're first in line, and they got a second register open for the woman who was there. And then, like, the whole thing goes to hell.
And they can't log into their system. We're, like, I'm standing in front of the register for, like, another hour.
Yeah, you're standing there for an hour, and I'm standing there. You know, I'm like, the next person in line once you two guys who are at the registers get through. I'm just standing there, like, oh, my gosh. And it was so so miserable, just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, you finally got your order in. And like, okay, I'm next. I go there like, yeah, we're all sold out.
Yeah.
So you were the only person who was able to get your order that day.
So that was when it was like, okay, no matter how much you love
Amiibo. Those were the dark times.
Yeah, no matter how much you love them and no matter what you're willing to do, you still might not get them. And that's... I mean, first of all, it needs to be a situation where you don't even really have to pre-order. Like if a little kid happens to walk into a store, at least for the first few weeks after it comes out, mm-hmm. and he should just be able to come across his favorite characters and Amiibo and go, oh, I didn't know this existed. I want to buy it. And they're getting closer to that point now. And with some characters, they certainly have.
Yeah, things have improved a lot. Like I said, Wave 4 was the low point, but Wave 5 and everything that's come out since then has actually been, you know, fairly easy to get.
Yeah, to the point where, I mean, I'm still kind of getting over how surreal this was. You know, the last Amiibo to come out was Lottie from Animal Crossing. She came out last Sunday. Mm-hmm. That was Target exclusive. I went through the usual thing. Well, I thought, you know, these exclusives have been in pretty good supply lately.
I wasn't too worried about her.
So I wasn't.
The Animal Crossing ones don't seem like they've been quite as popular as a Smash Brothers one, and the exclusives have been in high supply, like you're saying. So.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you know, I'll get there a little bit after they open, or maybe right when they open, and see how that goes. And I think you did the same, right?
That's right. I got there right when they opened. And in fact, I got there maybe 5 minutes early, and they'd already opened the store, but like half the lights were off. So felt a little weird walking in there, like people might ask me to leave or whatever. But hey, the door was open. So I go back to the...
You should put a cardboard box on and just snuck through.
Yeah. So there was no line. It's the first time I've ever been to get a new Amiibo on New Amiibo Day, and there's no line.
No line.
I go in there. I thought, well, maybe the line already went in before I pulled up. I go in there. There's nobody at the front kind of, you know, shepherding a line or set up at a special area to sell these things. So I went back to the electronics department. There's nobody working the counter, no line there. Eventually flagged somebody down. They had to flag somebody else down, who flagged somebody else down. Ultimately, they had to go in the back, find the Lottie Amiibo, bring out a big case, open it up just for me. And during that whole time, nobody else ever showed up. So
weird.
That was really weird. Like, either that's just the least, you know, popular Amiibo that Nintendo's put out there, or people didn't know, or the messaging hadn't got out enough that was going to be available. But anyway, that was the weird anomaly in kind of looking at, you know, how far we've come from, you know, the days where you know, no matter how hard you tried, you might not get a pre-order, to the days where you can kind of, at least with Lottie, show up in a weird ghost town and you're the only one who seems to care. Of course, it wasn't long before that I showed up trying to get a Mega Yarn Yoshi and failed. So
yeah.
So, you know, we're not out of the woods yet.
Yep, but, you know, they are making huge strides. But yeah, just the numbers I saw on the local Lottie shipments were crazy. Like most stores were getting at least 50. Some of them were getting 100, like 100 of this pretty obscure character. Like I barely even know who Lottie is.
Yeah, it's not like it's KK or Tom Nook or Rossetti or something like that.
And that's one of the things that kind of gets me is that, you know, things are improving. You're able to still go in and buy like the Me 3-pack or the Retro 3-pack. But it's so weird. They're like, oh, this store's getting in 100 Lotties. But, you know, a couple months ago, each store couldn't even get in 4 Lucinas or 4 Robins. And that's just nuts that they can't figure that balance out. And there's no sign of them, you know, reprinting those characters. Like, why are those two specifically, like, impossible to get? It's just so weird.
Well, we have been seeing a lot of reprints coming out. I popped into GameStop just the other day, and they were overloaded with, the classic NES characters 3-pack, the Rob, Mr. Game & Watch, that one. And then the Splatoon 3-pack was there, and they just seemed to have a lot of stuff that had been, and you know, I saw
like 50 Marths over the weekend.
Yeah, and Captain Falcon, ones that we'd never seen Little in Mac. The store before, yeah. I bet the thing with Fire Emblem is, and I can't really explain why they've been, I mean, those characters compared to some of the other ones, Mario, Link, obviously, I can understand why they didn't produce as many, but to produce the crazy low number that they did, I don't understand that. But I bet the reason we haven't seen a lot of restocks yet, other than with Marth, is I bet they're waiting to do that when the new Fire Emblem title hits next year, because it works with all those amiibo.
That does seem highly likely. Hopefully that's the case and they're not just never going to be seen again. But yeah, it's weird. Like, there's still a handful of characters I've never seen in a store. And it's the 3 Fire Emblem characters, the 2 I mentioned, plus Ike. You know, I've never seen Meta Knight or Dark Pit or Palutena. I guess Palutena's never been sold in a store over here, so that kind of makes sense. And I guess that's it, actually. But, you know, still, I guess the thing is that I'm, you know, sort of like suffering, you know, some sort of, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder from all this amiibo stuff. It, you know, it can get to me. Like, you know, not being able to get that wave four. So it's like, okay, let's just import for the next, you know, couple of waves since I don't trust these, you know, the way they're doing it in the United States. There are no exclusives, it seems, in most of the other territories in Europe and in Japan. But for some reason, that's why they're doing it over here. And it seems to, you know, sometimes make things tougher to get, sometimes make things easier to get. But, you know, for a time I was thinking, man, if they just, you know, put all the Smash Brothers characters and I'm able to get all of those and I have, you know, basically a complete set of the Smash Brothers roster, they can stop right here. I'll be happy with all these amiibo. They don't have to make any more. And, you know, I can go on my merry way and I won't have to stress out about, you know, trying to catch them all anymore. Because it stopped being fun. And that was a problem.
Well, you spent more time worrying over getting them than you actually did enjoying them once you got them.
That is very true.
But the good news is, and you know, not to belabor the point too much, but you know, as we've chronicled, you know, every week here in this podcast, they have gotten better and better. And although they're still not you know, perfect every time out of the gate, they've improved greatly than where they were. And hopefully, as we move into 2016. You know, they'll continue to polish out the rough few remaining rough edges and it won't be a question of whether or not, you know, you can get these anymore. It'll just be a matter of, you know, do you want them? And if you do, then, you know, you'll be able to grab them.
Yeah, I feel like the big test is going to be with Lucas and with Roy, because, you know, Ness, super hard to get, and all the Fire Emblem ones have been super hard to get. But this time Roy is going to be a GameStop exclusive, I believe. And, you know, if the numbers are anything like with the Retro 3-pack, maybe that means he'll be totally easy to get. So, you know, I'll cross my fingers on that one. But instead of, you know, belaboring, you know, how traumatizing this has been to me and, you know, talk about a first world problem.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears a little bit. What are your favorite 5 amiibo that have come out so far?
Well, that's really tough to pick. I mean, there's 5 out of so many. But I did try to put a little list together. And in the end, we can talk about build quality and certain amiibo are a little bit fancier than others. But in the end, I just kind of went with the 5 that made me smile the most whenever I check them out.
Sure.
I'll kind of count down. My number five, I think, is Bowser Jr.
Okay.
I think he's really cool looking in his little clown copter, and he's got some different kind of textures going on. I guess the clown copter really is what gives him that little something extra special. I'd say my number four is Yarn Yoshi, just because, he's so unique and distinct, being made out of yarn, and it's adorable. And I would say number three is Olimar. I really love Olimar's little bubble helmet and the little Pikmin accompanying him. There's a lot there to really take in and look at.
Yeah, I love that one. It's like a little diorama.
Yeah, it is.
Three or four different characters there. Three Pikmin plus the captain himself.
Mm-hmm. My number two is Mega Man. I love looking at all the third-party characters, because I still can't believe that these characters are in a Nintendo game, or that Nintendo is making toys of Sonic and Pac-Man and things like that.
Yeah, I can't wait until there's a Cloud and Ryu one as well.
Yeah, really. I mean, a Cloud Nintendo toy, come on. But Mega Man, to me, stands out because I still really associate him with that initial game reveal trailer, at E3, where they showed Mega Man in Smash for the first time. And that was, probably, of all the great reveals they had, still my favorite moment. And then my favorite amiibo out of all of them, I think I would have to say Duck Hunt Dog.
A fine choice.
Yeah, because not only is he interesting because he has the duck and the dog and the kind of cool pose that they're in, but again, I've said this before on this show, the fact that there is a Duck Hunt Dog toy that Nintendo made really just does show you that anything's possible. Nothing's off the table. I think I love it just for the sheer, if nothing else, the sheer impossibility that it even exists.
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of proves that anything is possible when it comes to these amiibo characters. Yeah, I never thought that we'd be getting a collectible of the Duck Hunt dog, or the duck, for that matter.
Yeah.
My top five, I didn't really put them in order, but my list also includes Captain Olimar. It also includes the Duck Hunt duo. I've also would say that one of my favorites is Rob. It's just got a lot of little detail there. It really looks like Rob. Or
he almost made my list.
Even better than the real thing, for sure. It's a good size, and I like the fact that there are two different versions in the U.S. and in Japan. Apparently, we'll be getting the Famicom version pretty soon. But yeah, just a fantastic detailed sculpt. Lucina is on my list. I think there are numerous reasons that she's popular. One is because, it's a great game. She's an interesting character. But it's also just a really, really well-made amiibo with a cool sculpt. It's got lots of nice intricate details. It's got a well-done face. Came out better than Marth did by far, I would say. So that's definitely one of my favorites. And then Chibi-Robo. I really, really like Chibi-Robo. And I think I've said this before, but it's basically like, a one-to-one scale Chibi-Robo. Like, that's how big I imagine he would be if, the actual Chibi-Robo were, running around in my house helping me out. I guess the plug is a little too thick to fit into an outlet, fortunately. Otherwise, I probably would have tried it by now. But he's, totally adorable. The scale is perfect. And I like the unique grassy base he is standing on. So that is certainly one of my top fives. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't say Mega Man, huh?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? You're supposed to be the Mega Man champion of the world.
Well, I'm not just sticking to my favorite characters. He's definitely one of my faves as well. He was probably my number six or something like that. Mm.
I had a lot of number sixes.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good ones. There aren't very many bad ones, really.
I did, however, put together a list of my least favorite amiibo, if you're interested.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
In no particular order. And I don't think any of these are bad, but, I'd say I'm, again, least interesting to me. Gold and Silver Mario and Gold Mega Man. Nothing against the characters, but, they're just...
Hey, Gold Mega Man's not even out yet. How dare you knock him?
They're just variants. I'm getting them kind of as I have to have them for the collection, but I'm not excited. They're worse than the actual versions, that have their real colors on them. The Mii Fighters, again, I'm glad they exist, but, a game full of classic nostalgic NES characters, those are the least that I'm kind of nostalgic about.
Yeah, they're just a little bit bland, yeah.
The Animal Crossing amiibo cards are probably my least favorite. I do like the idea of an amiibo card, but, you know, blind bagging hundreds of cards, just it's bad to collect. And they're, to be honest, I mean, when you hold them, when there's that many of them, any one of them isn't that special. And then also, I'd probably say the Pokemon amiibo. Nothing wrong with them at all. It's just not, Pokemon isn't really the thing that, you know, super hypes me up. So, for me personally, those are all the amiibo that, while I still bought them, enjoy them and like them, you know, are maybe a notch below the rest.
I think the only one that I would add to that list of disappointments would be, ironically, the most popular amiibo in the United States, the original Link. He's got that, you know, sort of ugly yellow stand keeping him up, and he's really, really tilted looking down. It feels like he should be, you know, leaning back, you know, a whole lot more than he is. So yeah, you can actually see his face and stuff. And it's weird because, you know, it's super popular. I was really looking forward to it before it came out. It ended up being one of the biggest disappointments for me. It's still really great in a lot of ways, but disappointing compared to what it could have been.
Well, and also you make a good point. I think, you know, my favorite game franchises are Mario, Zelda, and Metroid, probably in that order. But yet those aren't my, you know, none of the characters from those games are in my favorite amiibo. Well, I guess Bowser Jr. technically. But and I guess the reason is, although there's, I don't have a lot of, you know, picky technical issues with any of those figures. A lot of them look great. But I just feel like, especially when you're talking about Link, Samus, Mario amiibo, none of them really kind of fully capture the spirit of those characters or those games for me. I think they're just kind of, they kind of, you know, fit the bill. I think the Mario Party Mario is just a little bit too generic Mario. The Smash one is fine, but he doesn't really kind of feel like Mario. He's very much a Smash version of Mario. I agree with everything you said about Link, and even Wind Waker Link. I don't know. They're all serviceable. They're all good, but I've yet to pick one up that really made me happy, and I'm hoping that if they start releasing game-specific versions of these characters. Maybe if I had a raccoon suit Mario, or if I had a...
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, or if I had a version of Link, you know, from like Zelda 2 or something that really, you know, had that the art style from the manual or whatever. You know, maybe that would be, you know, kind of... Maybe I need a little bit more nostalgia with some of these to really fall in love with
them. What about Pixel Mario? That's pretty nostalgic.
He is. I mean, I do like Pixel Mario. He's not really Pixel Mario. He's like some new stylized version of a Pixel
it's
Mario.
It's true.
So, yeah, and he's also kind of a big, heavy piece of plastic. So, yeah, I kind of love that he exists mostly because it was a way to acknowledge 30 years of Super Mario Brothers. But he's probably not one of my favorite amiibo.
Now, what do you think about the way that amiibo have been used in games? I mean, I mostly see them for myself as just a cool collectible to put on the shelf. But... you know, they all have, you know, functionality built in. Do you think that's worked out well? Do you think it's worked out poorly? Do you think it is fair to, you know, hide some of this stuff behind the amiibo paywall?
It's, you know, it really is game by game, isn't it? I think
it definitely is.
I will say that my overarching opinion about their use in games is that I do like this idea that once you've bought a character, it isn't just for any one game or even just the games that have come out now. It's for a lot of games at this point that are out now, plus games that are going to be coming out in the future. I love the fact that I only just recently, recently within the last couple of months, was able to finally unlock the last unlockable thing in Mario Kart 8 because it took me that long to get the Olimar amiibo, and I got that Mii costume. So I love the fact that I feel like, you know, they're the gifts that keep on giving, you know, that...
Yeah, I mean, we've got amiibo. They're going to work, supposedly, in, you know, upcoming Zelda games, and upcoming Fire Emblem games. That's pretty awesome.
And presumably on the NX as well, because Nintendo has stated in the past that they see amiibo as continuing on in future platforms. So I love it from that perspective. And I'd rather have that than the Skylanders model or the Disney Infinity model, where even though future versions of those games have supported past figures, it still really feels like a much smaller kind of universe that, you know, those toys are meant very much for a very specific experience. Having said that, the dark side of that coin is that there is no one game that really kind of uses amiibo to some great effect. You know what
I mean? That's true.
And, you know, I'd say the worst examples are you know, things like, you know, the Ace Combat 3DS title where, you know, you're essentially unlocking skins on a plane, or, you know, similar games where it unlocks stuff that you feel like if, the, you know, in a pre-Amiibo world, this stuff would have maybe been unlocked already, or it would have.
Well, I mean, that's kind of all that Mario Kart does. I mean, you sounded like you were happy to, you know, unlock those Mii costumes there, but, you know, it's just, you know, giving you these costumes.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's, I guess it just depends on the game and the implementation and how you feel about it. I mean, with Mario Kart, I feel like that game's already got such a ridiculous amount of content in it that anything else I get is just a, you know, a ridiculous bonus.
Yeah, they'll just feel like bonuses, really. It seems okay.
But, and also, I think, you know, another negative example is when you're playing Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. Here's a whole game that you, Amiibo are required, but you kind of don't know how they add to the experience because, you know, you could have easily replaced tapping the Amiibo to the gamepad to just pressing a button to roll the dice. And
yeah, I mean, kind of tapping the Amiibo every time to roll the dice got really old really fast for me.
That's the rare example of, I mean, the first couple times you do it, it's kind of fun because it's like, ooh, hee-hee, you know, toys to life. I'm kind of using this. But
yeah, I'm almost shaking it like I'm rolling the die. But when I've done it, like, you know, 28 times in a row.
Yeah, then you can start to say, well, here's an example where Amiibo are actually making the experience worse.
And there's one mode where you're like having to hold down a card, an Amiibo card, against the gamepad, you know, to make your character hover in the air and then, you know, land in like the balloon popping mode. That was kind of a weird one to me.
Yeah, so it really,
like,
is
much better.
Really, is a shame that the game that the only game that's really made specifically for Amiibo is kind of the worst example of the benefits they can provide. But, you know, I'd say you know, the Smash implementation was neat. I've never personally, you know, done too much with these Amiibo that I've leveled up.
I think we had our Amiibo battle each other, you know, like a whole year ago, right after it came out. We had a couple of level 50 characters duking it out, but they're like, okay, all right, battle's over.
Yeah,
we're done.
But
it was kind of fun though.
I like the idea behind it, and I think, you know, other people may have had a lot more fun with it than I did. And I think, you know, they added that, they've got that same functionality in Mario Tennis. So, you know, that's kind of, if there was a point to, you know, longevity in that game, then maybe that would have been a bigger benefit. But yeah, I think, you know, I do feel, here's something else too, though. I think from the perspective, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of someone who doesn't want to collect Amiibo, or at least not collect a ton of Amiibo. I can obviously see from that perspective, you're pissed off if some of the content. Now, a good example here is in Splatoon. A lot of the kind of single player challenges are locked behind an Amiibo paywall.
Right.
And, you know, I had the Amiibo, so I was like, oh, this is great. I feel like I'm getting rewarded for buying these Amiibo. But, you know, very easily I could have decided, well, maybe I don't want to buy these toys. I just want the game. And then I'm sitting there looking at a whole mode.
Or you could have been one of those people who, you know, bought the game. It's like, oh, I can't find these Amiibo because they sold out on that first day. I'm never going to see them again until, you know, 6 months later.
That's exactly right. And that was the biggest problem, you know, for most of the year, is that it was, even if you were willing to spend the money and you wanted the figures, they just weren't there in many cases. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, just had to sit there and look at all those challenges that they couldn't even attempt to play in Splatoon.
Well, I would say that one game that really does it right is Mario Maker, because if you have these Amiibo, it gets you, you know, all these bonus costumes. And if you don't have the Amiibo, you can still unlock most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then the 30th anniversary Amiibo still gives you a little something special on top of that. So that's cool.
Yeah, so those two are very specific to the game. I am annoyed by the fact that I have to use them every time I want to incorporate that element into the game, though. I feel like, well, it should just, you know, it should always be there like all the other ones are. And, you know, that's kind of lame that they're like, oh, well, we wouldn't want you to, you know, share it with your friends or something like that. It's like, oh, seriously? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, you know, the fact that you can get so many costumes through either Amiibo or just gameplay, I think that's great. I think that's how most of it should be done. That seems like the right way to go, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I think the challenge for Nintendo going forward will be, it'll always be fine to give little, you know, unlock little treats here and there. Maybe stuff that you can get without the Amiibo if you put in extra work. But how do they build upon what they did with Smash, you know, and have more read-write capabilities, maybe even boost the amount of storage in those figures? How do they do something, even potentially with the NX, that is maybe a little more ambitious?
Yeah, I don't know. Where do we go from here with Amiibo? That is kind of the question.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few ideas I can just rattle off. And I don't know that
you're talking about functionality or, you know, just the kind of Amiibo that we want to you know, get our hands on?
Well, you know, kind of both, I guess. I'll start with functionality since that's what we were talking about. You know, you look at what Skylanders is doing with vehicles right now, and it's, you know, an obvious thing that could carry over to Amiibo, because so far we've, other than cards, we've pretty much stuck to figurines of characters. But you could easily see an R-Wing the Halbrid Meta Knights, you know, ship, or things like that. Yeah, that'd
be neat. I mean, I don't think it would be good to have vehicles that the Amiibo ride, and that would be very strange. But yeah, on the last Nintendo Direct, when they were showing Star Fox, I was really crossed my fingers they were going to be like, oh, and here's Amiibo of the R-Wing and the Landmaster and whatever the new hovercraft thing is called. I thought that would have been pretty neat.
Yeah, Miyamoto has said in an interview before that they were considering doing even transformable Amiibo. I don't know if that, you know, the fact that we haven't heard about that yet means it never got off the ground or if we might still see that later, but I think that'd be a great idea. You know, one of the things that you see similar Toys to Life franchises do is they'll come out with these like power discs or, you know, things that will unlock levels and stuff. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that. I feel like if you really nickel and dime people for every piece of content, that's not the best, but still I could see doing little potential dioramas of Princess Peach's castle or a Luigi's mansion or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what the in-game application could be. Maybe if you got enough pieces together, you could build a whole, you know, they could fit together and build an even bigger diorama. That would be kind of cool.
Build the entire Mushroom Kingdom.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, you were saying earlier that there is no, you know, really big overarching game, and I'd still like to see them make one. You know, something that, you know, pulls all the characters in and gives you really an excuse to have all these things. It would probably be something that, you know, I'm envisioning would be, you know, probably, you know, free to play or free to start. And, you know, maybe it would be, you know, very limited. You can only play with some Miis or something and, you know, only access a very limited amount of content. But, you know, that way it doesn't feel like, you know, you're having to pay for the game and then, you know, pay for everything else as well. It should be something that's very cheap to start. And then it's like, okay, if I, you know, put in, you know, my Mario Amiibo, then, you know, Mario is a playable character or Samus is a playable character or something like that. And, you know, make it, you know, some, you know, not, you know, like Smash Brothers, but kind of like Smash Brothers, but not a fighting game. It's a you know, action-y game or an adventure or, you know, some sort of RPG thing. I think that would be a fun way to go and would really be like the one missing ingredient that Amiibo needs.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people would love to see is like I said, I do prefer, if I had to choose one or the other, having this kind of broader, more kind of a long-running approach of the Amiibos do a little bit in a lot of games. But it would be nice to, in addition to that, have one kind of flagship title that really says this is where you're going to get maximum benefit out of the most number of Amiibo. And kind of along those lines, another random thought that occurred to me is, you know, maybe it'd be nice just to have some kind of application either on your Wii U or maybe even as a mobile app that, you know, like an Amiibo Collectors Club kind of thing. Something where you can track your collection, maybe even get some exclusive, you know, offers or some heads up, maybe a way to pre-order first, something like that. Something that that really builds on the, you know, kind of the community of collecting these things.
Yeah, that was actually something that I wrote about several months ago, probably after my last, you know, horrible Amiibo buying experience that we already talked about, where I said I really wanted to see them do a Club Amiibo where you could just, like, sign up for a subscription and wouldn't have to worry about pre-orders and stuff. This has nothing to do with the app, but just talking about, you know, being able to, you know, sign up for something and get early access. That was something I was really hoping for. Seems less and less necessary these days, but I would still go for one if they offered it. That's for sure.
Totally. And just kind of keeping some random ideas coming.
Yes, please do. Sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no.
I'm cutting off again. Oh, wait.
Damn it.
Okay, please go. Oh, no. Okay.
There we go. I thought before Amiibo came out, I thought, you know, that it might be a good idea if they, maybe each Amiibo kind of unlocks a related virtual console title. So, I don't know, maybe there's still something to that. Maybe special
versions. I remember thinking the same thing, and I think I've heard other people say something similar. But then they did that whole...
Greatest Bits.
Yeah, exactly. Where you unlock a very short bit of a classic game. And it's like, well, okay, I guess they did kind of do that. It's not really what I had in mind.
Yeah,
but
it's not really
all
that
right,
cool.
Hey, it's something.
Yeah.
It's better than a kick in the face, like GameStop gave me.
And along the lines of those little dioramas, or another idea there, too, is maybe you come up with like a little library or something that would, you know, you scan it and it, that appears in an Animal Crossing town or something. But maybe also, you know, weapons and items. Like, I don't think you'd want to get too carried away with that, but I think it'd be cool to have an amiibo that was essentially, you know, like the Zelda 3 Master Sword stuck in the stone. Like,
yeah, I could see that being a very, you know, limited type of thing. I wouldn't want, you know, every single Mario power-up or Zelda item, but for a few things, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, and you know, maybe if you have that version of the Master Sword and you scan it in, then it gives you like a special version of the Master Sword in the game or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess kind of the last zany idea is, and thinking again about how we can do more with the read-write capabilities, I wonder if you could do something where you're not just training an amiibo to kind of, you know, be a better fighter or a better... you know, for something as specific as tennis, but building an AI. Like, I wonder, you know, in the way that, you know, Siri on an Apple device will kind of learn your voice and your tendencies. Or, you know, if you think back to the Dreamcast and that game Seaman, where that guy kind of learned things about you and you could interact
with
him.
Yeah, he was pretty creepy.
Yeah, in a creepy way. I wonder if there was an amiibo where it was almost like it comes to life when you bring it into the game and it's somebody you start to, you know, build... kind of a, in a strange way, kind of a relationship with someone who learns things about you and assists you in maybe more complex ways than simply, you know, his tennis stats are going up. You know, someone
sounds a bit horrifying to me.
Yeah, maybe this does bring on Skynet and, you know, the Terminator. But yeah, I think AI could be a cool implementation. And what do you think about moving on maybe from fresh ideas, unless you've got something else to share there? What about looking into 2016 and kind of considering, you know, the stuff that, you know, maybe looking at some of the games that we know are coming out, maybe considering also what we've seen in the past from the amiibo waves? What do you think are some reasonable figures we could maybe hope for, even suggest to Nintendo to come out next year?
It is the Zelda 30th anniversary. They should go nuts with Zelda. They should have, you know, plenty of stuff to tie into the new games, but they should also just be like, hey, here's a whole bunch of like historical Zelda stuff. You know, I think a Pixel Link would be like a super obvious one to do and be a nice partner to go along with Pixel Mario. But I wouldn't want to stop there. I would, you know, want to see, you know, like a version of Link, like from the classic box art from, you know, Link to the Past or the original Zelda game or, you know, from Ocarina of Time or whatever. And, you know, do some of the side characters as well. Give us Pig Ganon. Just go wild, you know, take advantage of this anniversary and do a whole line with, you know, all the best characters from the past.
Yeah.
In fact, they can make Error.
That would be pretty awesome. At the very least, they could make a pack that just has like some of the most iconic, memorable, you know, incarnations of Link all maybe together. But it'd be even cooler, like if they released a pack for every significant, you know, Zelda mainline title, you know, that had, you know, that game's version of Link, Ganon, Zelda, and maybe even supporting characters like Impa and Epona. I would mm-hmm. love to have a Wind Waker pack. I'd love to have a, you know, a Link Between Worlds pack.
Ocarina, Majora's Mask.
Yeah. I mean, you could go crazy
Skull
with that.
Skull Kid, Fierce Deity.
And I feel like we will see that kind of thing eventually. I don't know if they do it all for the anniversary, but, you know, I'm sure they, again, like you said, Link is the top-selling amiibo here in the U.S. I'm sure they'd love to find a way to resell us that character over and over again. And they have a legitimate way to do it. I mean, I would love to have the version of Link that's going to be in the upcoming Wii U title that has the, you know, the kind of hood on and the kind of cloak and mm-hmm. looks very distinct. You know, I'd love to have.
Yeah,
that
I think
version.
I mentioned I would even, you know, love to see all the versions of the characters from Hyrule Warriors. Those are all very distinct and you know, great looking sculpts.
Yeah,
that'd be cool to see.
And I'm hoping, thinking of Wii U.
Sorry, character models, not sculpts.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Wii U Zelda again. I know that you know, it's going to have some kind of read-write ability with the it's going to share the Wolflink amiibo with Twilight Princess HD. But I really hope that they have some, you know, unique brand new amiibo for that game that would
you'd
be able to use in even more significant ways. I always thought one cool idea might be if there's some, you know, place at the very least in that huge sprawling overworld that game's going to have where there's like a, you know, a stone statue, which is essentially a stone version of that amiibo that will kind of move aside into a secret area. If you have that amiibo, you can put it on the gamepad. I think there's so many cool ideas.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. So many cool ideas they could do that is just, you know, beyond the obvious.
I mean, that's one where it's kind of questionable where it's like, you know, should that be hidden behind the amiibo paywall? But like, maybe if you didn't have the amiibo, you just like be like, okay, here's 200 rupees. Now I can get in and do that or something.
Maybe. But I feel like personally the amiibo paywall, I mean, if you've got a game that already has, I mean, everyone expects with this huge overworld, this new Zelda game to just have a ridiculous volume of content. If it's clear that the game's gone above and beyond and given you plenty enough to satisfy you. And then on top of that, there's just one little thing there for the people that have amiibo. It's never going to be ideal for those that don't have amiibo, but I think that's justifiable. I think, you know, maybe there is a way to unlock it as well, but I don't think we can get too up in arms about it, you know, small little instances of things like that.
Yeah, either way, I like the general idea, and I hope that they certainly do something along those lines. Let's see, then on top of that, you know, we've got some other big anniversaries coming up.
Metroid.
You know, we have the global anniversary of Metroid. I should mention the global anniversary of Zelda. For the U.S., it's actually not for another year, but globally speaking, it is the anniversary of both of those franchises. I don't really expect them to do anything with Metroid.
They never really do they, for Metroid anniversaries? Nintendo's
no.
Really.
And like now more than ever, they're kind of, you know, sweeping that series under the rug. But hey, we are going to get Federation Force. So
what if Federation Force ends up having like a 30 years of Metroid stamp on it? How much more pissed would all the Metroid fans be if that happened? Like, yeah, we're doing something special for the anniversary. Here you go. Federation Force. Samus isn't in it. Please enjoy.
Please look forward to it. Please understand.
Or they might show up at E3 and say, you know what? Here it is. Retro. New Metroid for NX. Boom. Amiibo works with it. 30th anniversary. Live it up.
Yeah, I don't really know what else they would do. I mean, we've already got Zero Suit Samus and Samus.
The gunship, dude. I want an amiibo of the gunship.
Yes. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't mind seeing Ridley and Kraid in there as well. And, you know, there are other forms of Samus
Hold on. Ridley's too big to be an amiibo.
How dare you?
Maybe a nice mega yarn Ridley.
Mother Brain would be cool.
That would be pretty awesome.
Actually, a Metroid. We should get a Metroid.
Yeah,
yeah. That would be great.
There should be a whole big set, man. A 30th anniversary set.
Yep, that would be rad. And, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with... new games or anniversaries, but something that the two of us have talked about, you know, offline in the past, where it would just be really cool if they did some sort of, retro Nintendo series, just celebrating, you know, some of the, the lesser known characters from throughout Nintendo's history, you know, finally give us our, plastic version of Starman, the Amazon from Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
Or... you know, the guy from Star Tropics.
Mike
from Star Tropics.
Or Mach Rider.
Or, Or, maybe some of the characters from, Golden Sun or Advance Wars or something like that.
That's the kind of thing, too. If they felt like...
just a whole world of Nintendo line. Don't know what they do in games, but it's something I'd love to see and just, you know, take things beyond Smash Brothers.
Yeah, if they felt like a classic group of characters or forgotten heroes, you know, wouldn't have a broad enough market appeal, that's where you could really come in with like an Amiibo Collectors Club type thing and make that a special offer for like a limited run. At the very least, just to give those characters a chance, that could be cool.
Yep, that would be a lot of fun, in my opinion.
And, you know, we got to have, I mean, whether they're transformable or not, how can we not have new Star Fox Amiibo next year when one of the top marquee titles for Nintendo is going to be Star Fox Zero? I mean, it's coming out in April and we haven't heard anything yet, but I guess you never know.
Well, and we got, Falco, we got Fox, and it seems like, Peppy and Slippy deserve to get a place as well. And I know you're a big fan of Crystal, so even though she's not in the game... maybe she could join the lineup also.
Yeah, we can leave her out. I'll take that weird, strange, disturbing raccoon from the flight tutorial in Star Fox 64 3DS.
Ah, yes, Pedo Raccoon.
Weird dude.
Believe that was his name. Yeah, yeah, a lot of those could be really fun.
And what about company collections? We love when Nintendo does these company crossovers. What if you had like a Konami set or a Capcom set or a Sega set? Again, giving a chance for some of those somewhat forgotten classic characters to shine.
Well, I dare not even think that such a thing would happen. But yeah, I would love if they did things like that and did, you know, like Arthur from Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh, man.
Or, you know, classic Rad Spencer from Bionic Commando. Beautiful Joe.
Simon
Belmont.
Yeah,
that
Belmont.
Would be pretty awesome. Konami. Nah.
Konami will just have a pachinko machine amiibo.
Yeah. But certainly, yeah, that would be cool. I don't really see them doing a lot of third-party stuff outside of Smash. But, you know, hey, as Shovel Knight proves, it seems like any company can join in on the club. So, you know, the possibilities seem kind of limitless. You know, just up to these companies to do it and figure out that there is money to be made there.
I do hope Nintendo exercises, and I'm sure they will, but continues to exercise a lot of creative control, because while I'm a huge Shovel Knight fan and I'm all for a Shovel Knight amiibo, if you start letting too many games and characters in the door, maybe it could get a little watered down a bit.
It definitely could be. I haven't seen any evidence of that happening yet, but I suppose it's something for them to be wary of, and I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about amiibo for quite a while. Should we wrap it up? We got any final thoughts on this first year of amiibo?
You know, for me, like I said, it's been really fun to get them. It's a great collection. I love being able to have them and use them and see them on my shelf. I just hope they continue to deal with the distribution issues, because, you know, it has been very stressful. And I'd like it to just be fun. So, you know, hope they keep on refining it, keep improving that. And, yeah, it's awesome. I'm, you know, very happy. I'm very poor,
yeah,
but I'm very happy that they've given us all these awesome amiibo.
Yeah, despite all the hassle we've had in getting these and how much our wallets hurt from keeping up with all the figures, I do always get excited when I see a new one announced. And, you know, it makes me happy just to have them and look at them, and I think the appeal of them can last for quite a while, as long as I do think they need to make sure that as the collection continues to swell and it becomes more and more of an impossibility for a newcomer to realistically get them all, I think they need to focus more on offering very collectible sets. You know, like whether they're packaged together or individually, like, you know, a Zelda fan can get, like we said before, just the Zelda figures from his favorite Zelda game. And I think if they give people more kind of inroads, more opportunities to jump in, then that will really benefit them in the long run. But yeah, I'm looking forward to using these, presumably on the NX. And I always feel a little bit special when I get a new game and I can pull an amiibo off the shelf and unlock something straight away. So, yeah, despite, like you said, some of the rough stuff, rough patches, I really enjoyed them, and I can't wait to see what else they do next year.
All right. Well, I think that is pretty much the show for this week. But before we go, it is time for another dramatic reading, this time from the back of the box of the obscure NES game, Panic Restaurant. Madness at the Panic Restaurant. Hot dogs on legs, jumping eggs, flying apple slices, hungry hamburger buns, pans shooting fried shrimp. What's going on? Ever since the mad chef, Odove, stole the Eaton restaurant from Cookie, strange things have been happening. To win back the Eaton, Cookie must face a restaurant that has come to life. Mutant food and appliances are just eager to cook Cookie. But Cookie knows his way around a restaurant, so armed with just a few simple kitchen tools, he is going to challenge Odove and the army of mutants.
Is that adapted from a true story?
I believe so. It probably happened in Japan, though, so I don't know a whole lot about it.
All right, that's it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow The Hoff on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and I'm at Chris Slate. Hoff also has a really cool blog you should check out. It's called Still Playing With Power, and you can find that at christhehoff.tumblr.com. And you can email us for any reason at powerprospod@gmail.com. And hey, we always really appreciate it if you could take a second to drop by iTunes and leave us a little rating or review.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Slate.
See ya.
And our good friend Earthworm Jim.
Groovy!
We will see you next time.